السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، it is only with the grace, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala is allowing for us to sit here and discuss some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah ta'ala has blessed us with. These programs that are being held, not only here, but throughout South Africa, and also another 5 other countries around South Africa. These programs are organized by Al Farooq Institute. It's the name of an organization that started off with students like you, people that were in university, and they realized that there were different sects that were coming in and trying to contaminate our aqidah, our belief, with regards to various things, and more especially with regards to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now it is imperative as mu'mineen, as believers, that we understand the greatness of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and we also have respect for them, we love them, and we understand who they are. Because if we look at every other religion, every other creed, every other religion whether it was a religion that was sent down by Allah Ta'ala or whether it was something that was man-made, so most of what they say, they cannot trace it back to their prophet. But in this deen of ours, in the deen of Islam, the unique thing about the religion of Islam is that anything we say about Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we can trace it back to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam with an unbroken authentic chain. So nobody can just take out things from their back pocket or fabricate things and attribute it to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because if a person attributes something to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has to produce an unbroken, authentic chain for it to be accepted. Now the greatest link in this chain is the link of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So when you remove the Sahaba, or when you discredit them, or you discount their credibility, then you break that chain. And then there's nothing left of deen. Then anyone and everyone can make up and say whatever they feel like saying once you remove the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So this onslaught, or this mission that certain people have made, you know, their job, is not something that they just have a hatred for Sahaba radiallahu anhum, or they just feel that no, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum should have been the first Khalifa and the other Khulafa usurped the Khilafat, etc. Those are smoke screens. The real objective is to remove the entire Sahaba radiallahu anhum from the equation. And once you do that, then you have no deen-e-Islam left. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see to it, He will ensure that this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always remain complete. It will always be there. Allah Ta'ala will always bring about Rijal. Allah Ta'ala will bring about people who will always uphold the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So Al Farooq Institute, they have been conducting these programs. This is the 4th year now that they are conducting these programs. And this particular year, the topic is on Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and the 2 daughters of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha and Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, I don't know how much time you've got, how fresh you are. Then we can decide on how much we need to discuss. The topic is a very vast topic. There's a lot that can be discussed. But you probably had a long day yourselves, and we don't want to keep you too long. You want to make your Salatul Tasbih and your Tahajjud and all of that. It's the night of Jumu'ah. So you got many other things also that you need to do. So we won't make the program too long. We will try and cover things. We will do things briefly and get through it. And then Alhamdulillah, you have Maulana here with you. So whatever further questions you may have, you can speak to Maulana, and Maulana will always enlighten you. The first thing with regards to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala is his relationship to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lineage of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala meets 5 generations up. So 5 generations up, the lineage of both of them meet, and thereafter they share the same lineage. Over and above this, you know that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was the son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Over and above this, the granny of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala is the aunt of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father's sister. So this is the family tie between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was one of those Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala who even prior to Islam, still in the days of Jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance, he was not one who ever got himself involved in idol worship or drinking, gambling, womanizing, the things that were prevalent at the time, infighting, things that were prevalent. His temperament was such that he was never attracted to these things. In fact, he steered very far away from these things. Another personality like this was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, that even from the days of ignorance, he didn't have anything to do with this. Because the two of them shared common values, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, they shared a friendship from well before Islam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the message of Islam, when Allah Ta'ala informed him of his prophethood, and he now brought this message of Islam, then we know full well that the first person to accept Islam was none other than our honorable mother, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the West Orientalist writers, Western writers, enemies of Islam, they always try to portray a woman in Islam in a very negative light. Islam doesn't really take care of women. Islam is unfair towards women. Wa na'uzu billah. This is very, very untrue. If one really studies the laws of Islam with an open mind, then you will see how much of consideration is given to women. Right? And if you just look from the very beginning, the first person, Allah Ta'ala could have given this honor to anyone, but Allah Ta'ala chose this honor to be a lady. That the first person to accept Islam is Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And up to Qiyamah, whoever accepts Islam, it will be in her bank balance. Because she started it off. Right? The second person was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and he's the first man to have accepted Islam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was very influential over other chiefs, other notables accepting Islam. One of them was Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. They shared a friendship. They had a close, tie between the two of them. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala approached him, and he was inviting him towards Islam. And during the process of this invitation, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened to pass by. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and on this occasion he accepted Islam. He recited the Shahada. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala's accepting Islam was something very significant in the history of Islam. The reason being, both Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala belonged to the Quraysh. But they were from different families. It's like you would say, for example, the Zulu tribe, right? So Quraysh is like a tribe. So you see Zulu tribe or Khoza or Sotho, right? So Quraysh is a tribe. But within the tribe you have families. Like you would get now a Buthelezi family, a Dlamini family, within the tribe of Zulus, right? So like this, the Quraysh was the tribe. Within the tribe you had families. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam belonged to the Banu Hashim family. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala belonged to the Umayyad family. The Banu Hashim was the most honorable and powerful family amongst the Quraysh. The Umayyad was second only to the Banu Hashim. So these two families were always competing with one another for official posts, rulership over certain areas, etc. They were always competing. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with the message of Islam, the chiefs from the Umayyads had made up their mind that they will vehemently oppose this. Because if they have to acknowledge that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a prophet, then the Umayyads would never be able to compete with the Banu Hashim ever again. The Umayyads will always be second best. So due to this family pride, they were not prepared to accept the prophethood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala broke away from this. He didn't give importance to the family pride, but he looked at what was the right thing to do, and he accepted Islam. But this came with repercussions. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala belonged to a very powerful family, so other families could not interfere with him, because he had his family backing. But when he went against the family and accepted Islam, then this very family turned against him. His own uncles, paternal uncles, etc., began torturing him. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was beaten up, he was tortured because he had accepted Islam. On the other side, we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was, as you know, a very beloved person, right? Trusted person. But he too, when he came with the message of Islam, his people turned against him, his family turned against him. So much so that his own uncle, Abu Lahab, who loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot, prior to Islam, he loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the message of Islam, then even Abu Lahab turned against him. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making an open call to Islam, Abu Lahab cursed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't retaliate. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retaliated with a surah in the Quran, which we recite very commonly in our salah, where Allah ta'ala is cursing Abu Lahab. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabi wa tab. Prior to this, when things were still fine, relationships were all still good, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had arranged for the marriage of his two daughters, Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha and Umme Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha, with the two sons of Abu Lahab, Utba and Utayba. So this nikah was performed, the marriage was, performed, but they didn't start living with one another. Like in our language, they say rukhsati. So the rukhsati didn't take place, but the marriage had taken place. But the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't go to live with the sons of Abu Lahab as yet. And when this surah was revealed, so Abu Lahab became furious, and he instructed his sons to divorce the daughters of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or he threatened that he would disown them. So Utba and Utayba, both of them, divorced the daughters of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Utayba, he didn't confine himself just to divorcing the daughter, but he went and insulted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which resulted in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making a dua, a bad dua upon him. And the result of that was that later on in life, Utaybah was mauled to death by some predator. Most scholars say it was a lion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what type of predator, but he was mauled to death by this predator. When the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were divorced, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered the hand of Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anha. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anha accepted this and he made nikah to the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which now made him the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They lived in Makkah Mukarramah. But as I mentioned to you, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was undergoing torture, persecution from his own family. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission for migration to Abyssinia, then Uthman radiallahu ta'ala migrated with Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha to Abyssinia. And it is mentioned in the books of history that this was the first migration of a husband and wife for the sake of deen, after Lut alayhi salam had migrated with his wife. And it is the first migration of a couple in Islam. In today's times, we get masturat jamaats, where men go out with their wives. You get ulama, like now Maulana has left his hometown and come here with his wife, with his family, to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this credit goes to them. They were the ones who started this, that a husband and wife together migrated. Look, you are intelligent people. You can think for yourself what difficulties there must have been in this migration. Most of you are away from home. It's not easy to be away from your loved ones, from your family, etc. So I'm not going to go into those details to explain. I'm going to just run through this due to time constraints. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala made hijrat, they went to Abyssinia. During this time there was a rumor that the Quraysh have all accepted Islam. So the Muslims that were there in Abyssinia returned to Hijaz, they returned to Arabia. When they came to Jeddah, then they learned that this was just a rumor, there's no truth to it. So most of them returned to Abyssinia. But Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, they remained in Makkah Mukarramah. They came back to Makkah Mukarramah. They lived here for a while. After that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave permission for migration to Madinah Munawwara. And again, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala migrated with Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they went away to Madinah Munawwara. Their marriage was for plus minus 7 years. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from the battle of Badr, victorious, he returned to the grave of his daughter Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. On the one hand, he had the glad tidings of a victory, but this was very, very short-lived, because by the time he came to Madinah Munawwara, his daughter had been buried. Now, the enemies of Islam always like to look for fault. You know, they want to try and find some fault. So one fault that they find in the life of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, they say is that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was a person who lacked courage. And this is why he never took part in the battle of Badr, the first battle of Islam, he didn't take part. We must understand that when it comes to the battle of Badr, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Madinah Munawwara, there was no intention of a battle. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only going to confront a caravan. There were plus minus 30-40 people in that caravan. This is why when you read about the battle of Badr, you always read that the soldiers were ill-equipped. The Sahaba, they hardly had swords. They hardly had any cavalry. It's not that they didn't own these things, but they were not going for an all-out war, a full-scale war. So they didn't really worry about equipping themselves. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had different plans, and the battle of Badr took place. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was ready to join Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Uthman radiallahu ta'ala to remain behind and look after his wife Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, because she was not well at all. So this is why he remained behind in Madinah Munawwara. So much so that when Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned with the spoils of war, a share was allocated to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Despite him not taking part, but because he stayed back on the instruction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a share was still allocated to him. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala lost his wife Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. On the one hand, he was very, very grieved to have lost his wife, but on the other hand, he was extremely grieved that this family tie that he enjoyed with Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exists no more. That he is no more now the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this came to the attention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered his second daughter, Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha. The eldest daughter, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, she was already married. Right? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now offered his third daughter, Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha, to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and this nikah was then made. However, Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha, you know, I mentioned this in few of the ladies' programs that had taken place, that on the one hand, look at the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At a very young age, the both of them are divorced for absolutely no fault of theirs. Absolutely no fault of theirs. And they are divorced. Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha remains unmarried after being divorced for plus minus 7 years. So many times you find when we go through similar type of tests, then we start becoming despondent. But even the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through these things. This worldly life is a life of tests, trials, tribulations. The place of enjoyment and happiness is the hereafter, not here in this world. So Khair Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala was married to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, but this marriage also only lasted a year, just over a year. After about a year, Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala also passed away. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was given the title of Zin Nurain, the one of two lights, for the reason that he was married to two of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughters. To understand the personality we're talking about, this one statement of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sufficient. We don't have to go into a lengthy bayan. Just to understand the integrity of this person, the character of this person. When Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala passed away, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a statement. He said that if I had 10 more daughters, I would have got each one of them married to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala one after the other. So I mentioned this in some other programs, that sometimes, you fellows, I don't know if you all are married and all of that, you may be not married, one friend of mine here is married, I don't know anybody else that's married, Maulana is married, but our father-in-laws, maybe they made a mistake, you know. They made a mistake, they gave us their daughter, and they may be holding their heads in their hands that they cannot reverse the decision that they made, you know. Allah Ta'ala give us good akhlaq and good character. But look at Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him two of his daughters. And then he still says that if I had 10 more daughters, I would give them to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala one after the other. So if this is the opinion of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding this honorable sahabi, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, do we need to discuss anything further? There's nothing further that needs to be discussed with regards to this Sahabi. However, the enemies of Islam, they would always try to find fault. Now, I want to get into a few of the allegations that were made or are being made on Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. One we have discussed already with regards to the Battle of Badr. The second one, they allege that during the Battle of Uhud, the second battle of Islam, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala ran away from the battlefield. He wasn't courageous enough to remain on the battlefield. He ran away from the battlefield. Now, look, most of you that are here, you may have attended Maktab, and you may have studied the Battle of Uhud. Briefly, you may have studied it, but you got a slight idea of what went on in the Battle of Uhud. But wallahi, there are multitudes of Muslims, even living in Arab countries, who don't ever attend the Maktab. And they have zero knowledge with regards to the history of Islam. And when you get someone coming to you and teaching you something which you know nothing of, then you are going to believe the first story that you hear. This is why it's very, very important that we study our Islamic history from authentic sources. Now, when it comes to the Battle of Uhud, you all well know that the Muslims were on the brink of victory. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stationed certain archers and he told them not to move from their post. They, thinking that the war is now over, decided to leave their post. There were 50 archers, 40 of them left the post. Right? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, who at that time was still a non-Muslim, he was fighting on the side of the Quraysh, and he was in charge of the cavalry of the Quraysh. Now he saw a weak spot. So he brought the cavalry from behind the Muslim army and he began attacking them from the back. The kuffar that were running away, the infantry, they realized that something is going on. So they also turned around and they started attacking the Muslims from the front. So there was utter chaos, total confusion. So much so that at times, people were injuring their own people. There was so much of chaos. Everything was so mixed up. Then a rumor was spread that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been martyred. When this happened, you couldn't really fight because you couldn't regroup, you couldn't make a stand and fight the enemy. So most of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'anum wanting to get away from the center left the battlefield. Most of them went away to the sides. Not only Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So to just find a fault only with him is totally unfair. In that battle, most of the Sahaba, where Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, a few Sahaba like Talha radiallahu ta'ala and others, they rallied around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, protecting him. Eventually, when, you know, it was realized that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive, he is there, then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum regrouped and they came back and they joined Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and put on a fight. And that's how the Battle of Uhud came to an end. The third battle that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala didn't take part in was the Battle of Zatul Riqa. This battle is called the Battle of Patches. One of the reasons it is called the Battle of Patches is because in that battle, Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to walk long distances in the desert. And the result of this was that they developed a lot of blisters and cuts on their feet. So they actually tore off material from their clothing and tied their toes and their heels and their feet to protect themselves a little bit from the heat of the desert sand. So this is why it is called the Battle of Patches. So he didn't take part in this battle because Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left him in charge of Madinah Munawwara in the absence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There always had to be somebody left in charge. So, during this particular battle, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was left behind in Medina Munawwara to take care of the affairs of Medina Munawwara. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, after Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed on, had a very, very close relationship with the first Khalifa of Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. When Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was passing away, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala wanted to elect the next Khalif or select the next Khalif. He didn't want to leave this thing like when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. He feared that there would be too much of confusion. So he wanted to choose the next Khalif. But he was in and out of consciousness. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was sitting there. And he mentioned to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala that, look, I want to dictate to you the name of the next Khalif. So you write it down. If anything happens to me, you show my wasiyat. That this was my instruction, who must be the next Khalif. So he began dictating. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala is writing. But just as he came to the name, he passed out. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala passed out. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala wrote down the name of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now he didn't know whether Abu Bakr has passed on or whether he's going to regain consciousness. After some time, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala regained consciousness. And then he told Uthman radiallahu ta'ala that let's continue from where we stopped. So what have you written thus far? So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala read out for him the entire sentence, and then he read Umar radiallahu ta'ala's name also. When he did this, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala recited takbir. And then he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he praised Uthman radiallahu ta'ala on his intelligence. That you realized whose name I wanted to put down on this paper as the next Khalif. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he was a Khalifa for plus minus 2.5 years. He passed on. He chose Umar radiallahu ta'ala to be his successor. Umar radiallahu ta'ala led this Ummah for a period of plus minus 10 years. In this time, he put in place a very, very well-established government. You know, what you call a very well-oiled machine, you know. He left everything in place. He had already started the conquest, Persia, Iran, Sham, all these conquests were already, you know, in place. And he then passed on after the 10 years. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala now becomes the Khalifa. Now how he becomes the Khalifa is Umar radiallahu ta'ala, before he passed on, he chose 6 names. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Talha radiallahu ta'ala, Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala. He chose these 6 names. And he said that, look, these 6 people will consult and they will choose a Khalifa from amongst them. But now you got an even number. So you can have a stalemate. So he chose one more person to join that committee. That person was his own son, Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhuma. He chose him as a 7th person with the condition that he cannot become the Khalifa. He must be there. If there is a tie 3-3, so he will give the odd vote. But he cannot be chosen to be the Khalifa. So this process took place, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala told them that within 3 days, maximum 3 days, they must choose the next Khalif. The first day went by, nothing happened. Second day, nothing happened. On the 3rd day, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, he gave a suggestion that, look, why don't the 3 people hand over their option of becoming the Khalifa, so each person will hand it over to somebody else. So there will only be 3 people left. So as soon as he said that, so Talha, Zubair, and Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, they said, right, be out. The three of us are out. They were not hankering after office. So Abdul Rahman bin Auf, he told Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that look, give me the right to choose who the Khalifa must be from the two of you. So they agreed to this. So he went, he had a discussion with Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Then he went and had a discussion with Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And thereafter he made a decision that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala will be the next Khalifa. When he made this decision, the first person to take allegiance on the hands of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was Ali radiallahu ta'ala. You know, this is the irony of the whole thing, is that the Shia, right, they always try to paint a picture that there was a very terrible, you know, a lot of enmity and animosity between Ali radiallahu ta'ala and the other three khulafa. But if you really have to study, even if you don't really study it, just at a cursory glance, you will realize that that is a total lie. When it comes to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, there was a time, in the early days of his khilafat, that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala went onto the mimbar of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he addressed the public and he said to them that, look, you have garlanded me with this responsibility of khilafat, I'm handing this thing back to you, choose somebody else as the Khalifa. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala went onto the same mimbar with an unsheathed sword, and he made an announcement that in the presence of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, nobody else can be the Khalifa. Now if it was that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had usurped the Khilafat, wouldn't this have been the opportune moment for Ali radiallahu ta'ala to take the Khilafat back? When Umar radiallahu ta'ala was the Khalifa, Ali radiallahu ta'ala gave his daughter in Umar radiallahu ta'ala's nikah. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala becomes the Khalifa. The first person to take bayat on his hands, allegiance on his hands, is Ali radiallahu ta'ala. These are just, as I said, just at a cursory glance. You don't see no enmity, no animosity here. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala becomes the Khalifa. Now, I need you to understand the dynamics. See, from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala becomes the Khalifa, he has the cream with him. Right? The cream of this ummah. Khairul Qurun, the Sahaba. Right? And he is ruling over a very small piece of land. Umar radiallahu ta'ala becomes the Khalifa after 2.5 years. He still has this cream with him. Over and above this, Umar radiallahu ta'ala ruled, I wouldn't say with an iron fist, but he was very strict. He was very, very strict. Especially with the governors. Whenever there was any, you know, a little fire starting, Umar radiallahu ta'ala would immediately put it off. In his khilafat, during his khilafat, many countries came under the banner of Islam. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala comes into the office of khilafat at a time, as I said to you, he's got this well-greased machine. And the conquests just continue. Right? The Romans, who were predominantly Christians, right, whenever they were threatened by the Muslim armies, they would run away to Cyprus. They had ships, they had a navy, which the Muslims didn't have. And they would go away to the islands of the Levant, and like this they were out of reach of the Muslims. Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala kept on requesting Umar radiallahu ta'ala to allow him to start a navy. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala was not in favor of this. When Uthman radiallahu ta'ala became the Khalifa, then Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala requested Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and Uthman gave him permission. And he put a navy together. When this navy was put together, now these Romans couldn't escape. And all those islands, everything came under the banner of the Muslims. Right? It is mentioned that by the sixth year of Uthman radhiyallahu anhu's Khilafat, he was ruling two-thirds the then-known world. Right? So, he's ruling over a vast area. Over and above this, you are now plus minus 20 years away from the golden era. Many, many Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala have passed on. Others are scattered around. And now you're ruling over such a vast area, people from different backgrounds, different languages, different temperaments. So it's not an easy task.